Do you know, in a moment, any of you grandparents, well, in a moment, I'm going to test you, because Anita's got a little test in this book as to the kind of grandparent that you are. So that's worth hanging around for. In Care for the Family, we have lots of correspondence from grandparents. And of course, there are all kinds of grandparents. The old idea of the grandmother that wiped the flour on a pinafore and got the cakes out of the oven and read Snow White, it might still be there, but we have modern grandmothers who ride Harley Davidson motorbikes and skydive and run vast corporations and granddads that do all kinds of things. And grandparents are different in today's society. 200,000 grandparents have the sole care of their children, the grandchildren, the sole care of the grandchildren. One in three families with small children rely on grandparents for the majority of their childcare. And the cost of that, if you had to pay for it, would be $4 billion. Grandparents in modern society have an incredible role. And I think BRF have been wise in bringing this book out. And as Christian grandparents, we want to know what we can do, what difference we can make. Let me read you something that Anita says. She says, "Everything seemed a whirl. My heart slowed with the passing minutes. I found myself able to stare at him, drinking in the perfect and minute fingers and toes, the scrunched up facial features, the silky smooth wrinkles of skin and limb. I thought she was still not Charlie when I first read it, to be honest. This whole new person, I looked at him for the first time, my first grandchild. And Anita has 8 grandchildren, heck of a way to do your research, but it's almost enough credibility to write a book just on that. But of course, Anita's got incredible credibility apart from that. Whole life of pastoral care, academic research. And it's not just another book on grandparenting. As our previous speaker said, with lots of tips, it's a deeply Christian book. A book of faith, a book of hope, a book of passion. We all know there are no guarantees for our children or our grandchildren. But I think this book gives incredible tools to grandparents to really make a difference. She quotes the scripture, "Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, my God. I want to declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come." I mean, just listen to this contents page. Memories of the future, the art of listening, this sunrise of wonder, a grandparent's creed, the book and the book of books, wonderful and terrible, the body beautiful, the church, shifting tectonic plates, keeping faith when faith is in question. I think it's a remarkable book. Listen what she says in one of the first pages. "I dream one day I've been able to help my grandchildren grasp the amazing truth that it is possible for men and women to encounter God and become his friend." Isn't that a great dream? And she talks about 21st century grandparents. Now here's a little test. What kind of grandparent are you? She talks about 5, some research out of the University of Chicago. What kind of grandparent do you think you are? Number one, a formal grandparent. Follows what I believe to be appropriate guidelines for the grandparenting role, which include providing occasional services and maintaining the interest in the grandchild, but not becoming overly involved. That's the formal kind of grandparent. That's me. No, it's not. Secondly, fun seeker. Emphasizes the leisure aspects of the role and primarily provides entertainment for the grandchildren. Well done. It's wonderful, isn't it? The other Christmas, just this good thing, I was in one of these pound shops or what have you, and I bought an elf's suit for £10, made out of felt, horrible thing. And we had all the grandkids round, and they were all around the dining table. And I sneaked into this thing, went down the end of the garden so they could look down the garden. And somebody said, "Oh, look, there's an elf." And the grandkids went, "Oh, look, it's Pops down the garden. Could you pass the chicken, please?" Yeah. So that's me. I'm that one. Thirdly, a surrogate parent takes over the caretaking role with the child. Four, reservoir of family wisdom. The head of the family who dispenses advice and resources, but also controls the parent generation. And five, a distant figure, has infrequent contact with the grandchildren, appearing only on holidays and special occasions. And then Anita says there are three more contemporary definitions, and here they are. I like all of these. One who breaks most of the rules and loves every second of it. You know, where you say, "I know you shouldn't do this. I know you're not meant to have sweets, but that's what you're not meant to do." But like parents, but with more sleep, fewer rules, and endless supply of sweets, and easy to operate, even a child can do it. Incidentally, on that second one about sleep, I was on holiday with the grandkids in the summer, and we're around this swimming pool, and I'm on a sunbed, and little Freddie came up to me. He's five. And he said, "Pops, if you're not a grandparent yet, be careful what they call you the second they can speak, because you're stuck with it for the rest of your life." "Pops," he said, "why do you sleep so much when it's not bedtime?" I want to say, kid, when you're as old as I am, you'll sleep a lot when it's not bedtime. And then Anita makes the telling comment that it's more complicated than becoming a parent, because we don't choose to become one. We don't choose it. And then she begins to talk about relationship with God, helping our kids introduce them to Him, but also build a strong relationship with them. She talks about traditions. On page 37, let me just read you this little bit that she says here. Here we are. "The sheer power of traditions. Build family traditions, time to just be together." You know, Diane's here, my wife, with me, and Catherine Hill, the UK Director of Care for the Family. And when we talk to adults and we say, "Tell us what made your family life sweet when you were little," they so often begin with these two words: "We always. We always did this at Christmas. We always did this on a Sunday morning. We always did this on a Saturday." And they'll begin to talk about some old tradition. If you're a very wealthy grandparent here today, I'm about to offend you. Your grandkids will forget the expensive presents you bought them. They'll remember sleeping in the tent in the garden when they were 8 years old. They'll remember the silly things. They'll remember those "we always" moments. And Anita's very strong on that. And not just those things, but the ordinariness of passing faith on. When you walk along the street, write it over your doorpost. Tell your children these commandments. Make it an ordinary part of your life. Do you know, I remember speaking to a very sophisticated young lawyer. I suppose she was about 30 years old. And I said to her, "What made your family life sweet?" She said, "When I was a little girl, about five, I'd wait for my dad to come home at night, and he'd always sit in the same chair, and I would say to him, 'Can I sit on your lap?' And he'd say, 'No, you cannot. Only girls with black hair can sit on my lap. Daddy, I've got black hair.' 'Well, only girls with black hair and brown eyes can sit on my lap. Daddy, I've got brown eyes.' 'Well, only girls with black hair and brown eyes and pink shoes can sit on my lap.' And pretty soon, a little girl with black hair and brown eyes and pink shoes and a dozen other things would climb onto her father's lap. And when she was an older woman, she remembered it." And Anita talks about that. She talks about the simple things we can do to build these strong relationships. And in fact, the poorest grandparent can give the very best gifts. There's an old African proverb that says, when an old person dies, it's as if a library burns down. But Anita in her book says the library shouldn't burn down. We should pass on to other generations memories, stories, You know, there's that lovely story that Tony Campolo used to tell of just after the last World War and about 200 French soldiers had total amnesia. They didn't know if they had a family, nobody recognized them, and somebody had the bright idea of taking the Paris Opera House on one Saturday evening, and they were invited to come. If you've lost somebody, come and see if he could be there. And the first man comes out, and he turns, and he looks up into the darkness of the Paris Opera House, and he shouts out the phrase they told him to say. Does anybody know who I am? Traditions, memories, roots, grandparents help answer that question. And indeed, it's very strong on that. Through faith, through traditions, through the ordinary things, let me tell you my story. This is who you are. One expert said, traditions, memories give a child a sense of connectedness. And the Bible has lots to say about that. Apparently, Lord Soper used to preach on a soapbox in Hyde Park Corner. And one day, this atheist shouted out, "Hey, Soper, where's the soul in the body?" And Soper replied, "Oh, where the music is in the organ. You can take the organ apart, but you never find the music. Where's the music in grandparenting? What's special?" I'll tell you what I think it is, and Catherine Hill talks about it in her introduction to Anita's book. She says this: psychologists describe the relationship between a grandparent and grandchild as uncomplicated form of love. It is uncomplicated. Generally, sometimes, but generally, we don't have absolute control. We don't have absolute responsibility. Here is true acceptance. There's a lovely story of a little boy. He was 5 years old. He came last in every race in school. His grandmother was watching him. He even came last in the egg and spoon race. And the poor little boy, his head was down, and suddenly his grandmother was there. She put her arm around him, and she said, "You were the only little boy whose egg didn't fall off their spoon." You need a grandmother like that. You need a grandmother who doesn't judge you by how you look or what you do or what you achieve. Or even if you've been a little naughty the night before. You need someone to say, "You're the only little boy whose egg didn't fall off the spoon." And psychologists have clever spot in that. And Anita talks about this. This incredible power of acceptance. There has never been a generation of children who need that more than this one. Never been a generation. Catherine Hill talks about it in a new book, Left to Their Own Devices, Positive Parenting in an Age of Screens. You know, when you and I were bullied, we could go home. Modern child can't go home. The bully will follow them on their phone, on the bus, under the bed sheets at night. What if somebody could put donkey's ears on you on screen? What if there was an anonymous chat room set up just to talk about you in school? 50% of teenage girls believe they're overweight no matter what their weight. 35% would like some cosmetic surgery. It's not just girls. Someone said it's not enough to be a great footballer, you have to be a great looking great footballer. Who will stand for a child in such a world? And Anita talks about this, and she draws it from the love of God. The unconditional love of God that can be modeled by a grandparent. You are loved anyway. You are special. There is nothing to prove. She talks about grandparenting at a distance. She talks finally about prayer. About prayer. You know, I got the grandkids around the other night. We have five of them. I like being a grandparent. To be honest, if I had known grandkids were so much fun, I'd have had them first. And I have the grandkids on, and before they go, I say, "Let's light the candle and let's say a little prayer together." Anita's got a lovely prayer in her book that was prayed by a grandchild. Listen to it. It brought joy to me as I listened to it. It gave me hope for some of my grandkids. "Once when I asked two of my granddaughters," I think this is somebody called Helen, "what I could pray for them, one gave me a long list of things, mostly involving friends at school, and the other said, 'Gran, I have such a good life, I can't think of anything. And then after a pause, she added, there is something. There's a boy in my class who's mean. Could we pray that he gets ill? We both laughed, and she reluctantly agreed God probably wouldn't answer that prayer. He might, mightn't he? Pray with them. Pray in small ways. Pray in big ways. I remember Diane saying years ago, learn to bring the little things to God. You may not get every one of them answered. If you lose your rabbit, pray about it. Bring the little things to God, and later in life you will bring the big things to him. One little girl said this. She said, I like grandmothers. Grandmothers don't just say that's nice. They say, wow, that's amazing. They roll their eyes. They thump their hands. They smile big. And then she said this. You get your money's worth out of a grandmother. And I think we've got our money's worth out of Anita's book. Faith, hope, passion, love, traditions, the incredible privilege of being one that can say, I truly love you anyway. Come here. With me, there is nothing to prove. You're the only little boy whose egg didn't fall off his spoon. We all need a grandparent like that. Anita, thanks for writing it. God bless you.